Well, hello, welcome back to another of our thoughts for the day in the book of Joshua. And today we continue our readings in the book of Joshua, chapter 22. Let's pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of this day. We pray that you will walk with us throughout it. And pray now that in these few moments that you will open your word to us, that we may see wonderful things in your word. For we ask it to your glory and praise. Amen. Well, our passage set for today is Joshua chapter 22 and verses 10 to 34. It's a great story, and I hope you might take time later today to read the whole passage. But I'm just going to read the first few verses, verses 10 to 14 of chapter 22. When they came to Geliloth, near the Jordan, in the land of Canaan, the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh built an imposing altar there by the Jordan. When the Israelites heard that they had built the altar on the border of Canaan at Geliloth, near the Jordan on the Israelite side, the whole assembly of Israel gathered at Shiloh to go to war against them. So the Israelites sent Phinehas, son of Eleazar the priest, to the land of Gilead, to Reuben, Gad, and half the tribe of Manasseh. With him they sent 10 of the chief men, one for each of the tribes of Israel, each the head of a family division among the Israelite clans. Oh dear, it all sounds very familiar and somewhat ominous. And even the last time that Phinehas appeared in a biblical story was back in Numbers 25, when God's people fell into Baal worship. It looks as if idol worship has become tempting again. And that all despite the warning that Joshua had just given them. Because we read in verse 10 that on their homeward journey, the people of the tribes of Reuben and Gad and half the tribe of Manasseh built an altar near the Jordan River, an altar of imposing size. Do we need to know any more? They seem to be breaking God's very specific commands that the only sacrificial altar was to be at Shiloh. And so Joshua sends for Phinehas, a kind of minister in charge of stopping Baal worship, and sends them along with a representative from each of the other 10 tribes on a fact-finding mission. And we sort of know what we're going to read in the rest of the chapter, except that we don't. Because when Phinehas and his 10 fact finders challenge the folk from Reuben, Gad, and Manasseh, they find that it's not a sacrificial altar at all. It's a memorial set up by them, like the other memorials that have been set up over the years, to remind future generations of God's awesome deeds and his great mercies. You see, these folk were worried that in future generations, it would even be forgotten that the people of Reuben and Gad were actually part of the true Israel. And so verse 26, they explain to the fact-finding team, we said to ourselves, let us build an altar, but not for burnt offerings or sacrifices. On the contrary, it is to be a witness between us and you and the generations that follow, that we will worship the Lord at his sanctuary. Oh, what a relief. So were Joshua and Phinehas and the fact finders wrong in what they did? And I think we must realise that the answer to that question is no, because they were being zealous for godly and true worship of Almighty God. Not only zealous to do the right thing, to worship God, but zealous for doing it in the right way, in the God-given and commanded way. And we too must be zealous to ensure that our worship as a church is according to God's way, that it's worship that's centred upon him and his righteousness and holiness and justice, and it's not centred on ourselves for our entertainment. And the best way to keep on that true path is to remember precisely who it is that we worship. So let me leave you with these verses of a well-known hymn. My God, how wonderful thou art, thy majesty how bright, How beautiful thy mercy seat in depths of burning light. How wonderful, how beautiful the sight of thee must be. Thine endless wisdom, boundless power, and awful purity. Oh, how I fear thee, living God, with deepest, tenderest fears, and worship thee with trembling hope and penitential tears. Father of Jesus, love's reward, what rapture will it be, prostrate before thy throne to lie, and gaze on thee. Let's pray. Our loving, gracious Father, we have a great and wonderful God, and we pray that we may worship you aright, in spirit and in truth, and in the way in which your holy word prescribes, that we may come to you in true worship, to praise you for all your wonderful attributes and character, and for your wonderful salvation wrought in our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, write this on our hearts all the days of our lives, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.